A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been thinking about a feeling most of us have had and almost nobody talks about. You're in an airport, hours into a layover, watching something on your phone on the guest Wi-Fi, and for a moment you actually forget where you are. Then the thought surfaces. Is somebody watching me right now? That guy who sat down next to me for 10 minutes and then left? Was he security? And the strangest part of it all is how mundane the place feels. The lighting is soft, there's a Cinnabon, people are scrolling their phones. It feels like a mall. But you know it's not. Daniel's asking about that low-grade cognitive dissonance, the brain trying to square four things at once, the knowledge that you're probably being surveilled, the fact that you don't know how or to what extent, the sheer banality of the space around you, and the brief weirdness of realizing those things can't all be true at the same time. He's clear this isn't an argument against surveillance and transport systems. He gets why it's necessary. The question is whether it's fair to create spaces that are misleadingly calm on the surface. And he wants to know how these spaces are actually built. Is that veneer of normality explicitly engineered? Or is it just what happens when an invisible surveillance layer and a visible commercial layer happen to share the same floor plan?
That last question is the one that gets me. Because I think the answer is both, and the fact that it's both is what makes the whole thing so strange to experience.
So we're going to unpack that feeling today, not as paranoia, but as a rational response to a deliberately manufactured environment, because I think that's the first thing to establish. This isn't paranoia.
It's not, and I want to be precise about why. Paranoia is a belief that isn't grounded in evidence. You think you're being watched when there's no reason to think so. What Daniel's describing is the opposite. You know you're in a space where surveillance is dense, sophisticated, and largely invisible. That knowledge is accurate. The dissonance comes from the fact that your senses are telling you something completely different. Soft lighting, retail, people eating pretzels. Your brain is getting two incompatible signals, and neither one is wrong.
It's the gap between what you know and what you feel. And airports are almost uniquely good at producing that gap.
They are. And the mechanism that produces it. I want to start with the psychology, because there's a name for the underlying phenomenon. It's the panopticon effect. The 18th century philosopher Jeremy Bentham designed a prison where a single guard in a central tower could see into every cell, but the prisoners could never see the guard. They never knew if they were being watched at any given moment, so they had to assume they always were. The power wasn't in the watching, it was in the uncertainty.
And an airport terminal isn't a prison, but the architecture of uncertainty is similar.
Exactly the same principle. You know the cameras are there. You don't know where, you don't know how many, you don't know who's watching the feeds, or whether the feeds are even being watched in real time or just recorded. And that uncertainty, the BBC Future piece on this was good on this point, that uncertainty means passengers are often unaware of the actual extent of monitoring. There's a gap between what you feel and what's really happening, and the gap itself is part of the design.
The gap is the point. If you knew exactly what was being monitored and when, you'd adjust your behavior accordingly. The uncertainty keeps the behavior consistent.
Right? And here's where the dissonance Daniel's describing really bites. In Bentham's panopticon, the prisoners knew they were in a prison. The architecture announced it. An airport terminal doesn't announce anything. It looks like a shopping center with gates. So your senses are getting normal public space, while your knowledge is getting high surveillance environment. Your brain tries to reconcile those, and it can't. And that moment of failed reconciliation is the weird feeling.
It's a cognitive short circuit. And I think what makes it so briefly unsettling is that you catch yourself having been relaxed. You were watching your show, you were comfortable, and then you realize, wait, I forgot where I was. And that forgetting feels like it shouldn't have been possible.
The forgetting is the thing, and it's not an accident that you forgot. Let's talk about how the space is actually built, because this is where it gets fascinating. The banality is engineered. Airport design. And I'm thinking specifically of Terminal 5 at Heathrow as a case study. Deliberately uses natural light, high ceilings, open sight lines, and retail environments to create a sense of normalcy and reduce passenger stress. Architectural Digest has written about this explicitly. The design brief is, make people calm. Calm passengers move efficiently, they spend money, they don't cause problems.
So the retail, the lighting, the open plan, that's all intentional.
Completely intentional. And it works. You walk into a space with soaring ceilings and natural light and a prim anger, and your brain categorizes it as normal public space. That's category one. Now, category two is the surveillance infrastructure, and that's designed to be invisible. Cameras in ceiling tiles, behind signage, under counters. The Guardian has made the argument that much of what's visible, the uniformed officers, the bag checks, the metal detectors, is security theater. It's performative. The real surveillance is the layer you can't see.
So you've got two design philosophies operating in the same physical space. One is designed to be maximally visible and comforting. The other is designed to be maximally invisible and comprehensive. And nobody necessarily sat down and said, let's make these two things coexist to produce cognitive dissonance in passengers.
Nobody planned the dissonance. But the coexistence of those two layers is what produces it. And the scale of the invisible layer is staggering. A major international airport terminal can have thousands of cameras. Most passengers notice maybe a few dozen, the obvious ones mounted on walls and ceilings. The rest are hidden, and that's just cameras. You've also got facial recognition systems, behavioral analytics, Wi-Fi tracking, Bluetooth beacons, automated license plate readers in the parking structures.
Wi-Fi tracking is the one that always gets me. You connect to the guest Wi-Fi to watch Netflix, and the same system that's streaming your show is logging your device's MAC address and tracking your movement through the terminal.
And that's not a hypothetical, that's standard. The access points that provide the Wi-Fi can triangulate your position based on signal strength. They know which stores you walked past, how long you stood in front of which gate, whether you doubled back. All while you're watching episode 4 of whatever.
So the very thing that's making you feel at home, watching your show on their Wi-Fi, is also feeding the surveillance system. That's almost too perfect.
It's almost literary, and I think that's the core of the dissonance Daniel's describing. The thing that makes you comfortable is the same thing that's watching you. The infrastructure of relaxation and the infrastructure of surveillance are literally the same network.
Let me ask you something. You mentioned the scale. Thousands of cameras. Do we know how many people are actually watching those feeds in real time?
Far fewer than you'd think. And this is where the panopticon effect gets another layer. Most of those cameras are recording, not being monitored live. The feeds are stored and can be reviewed if something happens. But the feeling of being watched is more consistent than the actual watching. The system projects omniscience, but it's not actually omniscient, it's just very good at looking like it is.
So the surveillance is partly performative too. Not just the visible security theater. The hidden layer is also performing a level of coverage it doesn't actually achieve.
Yes. And that's not a failure. It's a feature. The deterrent effect doesn't require anyone to be watching. It just requires you to believe someone might be.
Which brings us back to Daniel's ethical question. Is it fair to create a space that feels misleadingly normal? Because what we're describing is a space that's been carefully designed to produce a specific emotional response. Calm, normalcy, comfort. While simultaneously being one of the most intensely monitored environments a civilian will ever occupy.
The asymmetry of information is what makes the ethical question sharp. The people running the airport know exactly what's being monitored, how, and by whom. The passengers don't. They're making decisions about how to behave in a space without knowing the rules of the space. And the space is designed to discourage them from even thinking about the rules.
That's the part that nags at me. It's not just that you're being watched. It's that the environment is actively discouraging you from remembering that you're being watched. The comfortable chairs, the soothing lighting, the retail. All of it says, relax, you're safe, this is normal. And that message is true. In one sense, you're safe, the surveillance is there to protect you. But it's also a kind of misdirection.
It's a benevolent misdirection, but it's still misdirection. And I want to be careful here because, like Daniel, I'm not arguing against airport surveillance. I want the people running the airport to know who's in the building. I want behavioral analytics flagging someone who's acting strangely. That's not the issue.
The issue is whether the comm is honest, whether the space is being straight with you about what it is.
And I think the answer is no. It's not being straight with you, it's being strategically comforting. And the question is whether that strategic comfort is a problem.
Let's push on that. What's the case for it's not a problem?
The case is that airports aren't unique. Every public space has surveillance now. Shopping malls have cameras. City streets have cameras. Your local grocery store has cameras. The airport is just denser and more sophisticated. If we're going to say the airport is ethically problematic because it hides its surveillance behind a calm facade, we'd have to say the same thing about the mall, and the train station, and the office building lobby.
But the mall is also designed to manipulate you. It's just manipulating you toward spending, not toward compliance.
That's the distinction. The mall wants you relaxed so you'll buy things. The airport wants you relaxed so you'll move efficiently and not cause problems. The goal is different, but the mechanism, engineered calm, is the same. And I'm not sure the goal changes the ethics of the mechanism.
I think it does, actually. The mall's manipulation is commercial. The airport's manipulation is tied to state power. When the mall watches you, the worst that happens is you get targeted ads. When the airport watches you, the stakes are different. You can be detained, questioned, prevented from traveling.
That's fair. The power asymmetry is much steeper in the airport, and the consequences of being flagged by the system are much more serious. So the fact that the space is hiding the extent of that power, that feels more consequential than a mall hiding cameras and mannequins.
Mannequins have cameras now.
Some do. It's been a thing for years, but that's a different episode.
I want to go back to something you said earlier about the panopticon effect. You mentioned that most of the cameras aren't being watched in real time, so there's a gap between the feeling of surveillance and the reality of it. But what if that gap actually makes things worse?
How do you mean?
If you knew exactly what was being watched and when, you could relax in the spaces between. You'd know, okay, this gate area has no active monitoring. I can let my guard down. But because you don't know, you can never fully relax. Or at least, any relaxation is interrupted by the thought that maybe you shouldn't be relaxed.
So the uncertainty creates a kind of low-grade vigilance tax. You're never fully off.
And that's the dissonance Daniel's describing. It's not acute paranoia. It's a background hum of this feels wrong that surfaces occasionally and then fades.
The BBC Future piece made an interesting related point. Visible security theater, the uniformed officers, the checkpoint, can actually reduce passenger vigilance. People see the theater and think security is handled and stop paying attention. So the visible layer makes you complacent, while the invisible layer makes you uneasy. And the two feelings coexist without resolving.
That's almost worse. The visible security is training you to outsource your vigilance to the system, while the invisible security is reminding you, subtly, intermittently, that the system is watching you. You're being nudged toward passivity and anxiety at the same time.
And neither response is irrational. The passivity is a rational response to the visible cues. There are professionals handling security, you don't need to worry. The anxiety is a rational response to the invisible cues. You're being watched and you don't know by whom or to what end. Both are correct readings of the environment. They just contradict each other.
So we've got two layers of design, two contradictory emotional responses, and a brain that can't resolve either pair. No wonder people feel weird in airports.
Let me add one more layer. The future of this is even stranger. Airports are moving toward invisible, seamless surveillance. Changi Airport in Singapore is the case study everyone points to. Facial recognition, behavioral analytics, AI monitoring. Passengers move through the terminal without any visible security checkpoints, while the system tracks everything. No metal detectors, no pat-downs, no obvious security at all. Just a calm, pleasant space that happens to be watching you with extraordinary sophistication.
So the gap between what you feel and what's actually happening gets even wider. In a traditional airport, you at least see the checkpoint and remember where you are. In a smart airport, there's nothing to remind you.
Nothing except the occasional moment of dissonance when you remember. And I wonder if those moments will become more frequent or less frequent as the surveillance becomes more invisible. Will we just stop noticing altogether? Will the engineered calm become so complete that we forget we're being watched?
Or will the knowledge that the surveillance is there, even if you can't see it. Make the calm feel more false, like a room where you know the walls are listening, but you can't find the microphones.
I think it depends on the person. Some people will find the invisible surveillance more unsettling precisely because it's invisible. Others will find it more comfortable because they're not being reminded of it constantly.
Daniel's in the first camp. I think I am too. The visible checkpoint is almost a courtesy. It tells you what kind of space you're in. Removing it removes the one honest signal in the environment.
The checkpoint is the one piece of the airport that's not lying to you. It says, this is a security environment, act accordingly. Everything else in the terminal says, this is a mall, relax and buy a smoothie.
And the smart airport removes the checkpoint. So now everything is lying to you.
Everything is lying to you, and it's lying more convincingly because the technology is better. The AI doesn't need you to stop and empty your pockets. It just watches.
Let me ask you the ethical question directly. Is it fair?
I don't think fairness is quite the right frame. The airport isn't a negotiation between equals. It's a space where the state has legitimate security interests and you have legitimate privacy interests, and those interests are in tension. The question isn't whether the outcome is fair. It's whether the process is transparent enough for you to make informed decisions about how you behave in the space.
And right now, it's not transparent at all. You don't know what's being collected, how it's being used, how long it's stored, who has access to it.
And the design of the space actively discourages you from asking those questions. The soft lighting and the Cinnabon aren't an accident, they're a choice. And the choice has consequences for how you experience your own privacy.
I want to complicate this a little, because there's a version of this argument that sounds like airports should feel more oppressive, so people remember they're being watched, and I don't think that's what either of us is saying.
No, I don't want airports to feel oppressive. I want the calm to be honest. I want the passenger to know, really know, not just abstractly understand, what kind of space they're in. And I think there are ways to do that without making the space unpleasant.
What would that look like?
Transparency about surveillance practices, for one. Clear signage about what's being monitored and why. Opt in rather than opt out for things like facial recognition. The ability to see what data has been collected about you. None of that requires harsh lighting and concrete walls.
It requires the space to stop pretending it's a mall. Which is interesting, because airports have spent decades trying to convince us they're malls. The retail revenue is a huge part of their business model. The calming design isn't just about security compliance, it's about getting you to spend money.
The commercial layer and the security layer are intertwined in ways that make them hard to separate. The retail wants you relaxed and browsing. Security wants you relaxed and compliant. Both benefit from the same design choices. The fact that those choices also make surveillance less noticeable is, not a coincidence exactly, but a convergence of interests.
A happy accident for the surveillance apparatus.
A happy accident that nobody's in a hurry to fix.
So where does this leave the person sitting at the gate, watching Netflix, having that weird moment of dissonance? Is there anything to do with that feeling other than notice it and move on?
I think noticing it's the thing. The feeling is information. It's your brain telling you that the environment isn't what it appears to be. And paying attention to that feeling, not indulging it into paranoia, but not dismissing it either, is probably the healthiest response.
The feeling is the correct response. The mismatch is real. The space is designed to produce exactly the confusion you're experiencing. Noticing that you're confused is just accurate.
And I think that's what Daniel's getting at. He's not saying the feeling is a problem to be solved. He's saying the feeling is interesting and worth understanding and maybe worth questioning whether the space should be designed to produce it.
The one thing I'd add is that the feeling is also a kind of civic awareness. It's you remembering, however briefly, that you're in a space governed by power you can't see and don't fully understand. That's not paranoia. That's citizenship.
Citizenship with a side of existential unease.
The best kind?
47B.
What's 47B?
Camera 47B, Denver International. Main terminal, food court, above the burrito place. Pointed right at the seating area. I calibrated that one myself.
You calibrated cameras at Denver International?
6 months in 2003. Security systems integration specialist. I had a laser and a ladder and a binder full of camera positions. Every ceiling tile in that terminal, I know what's behind it.
So, when you were sitting in the food court eating a burrito, you knew exactly which cameras were on you?
I'd look up and think, there's 47B, there's 42C. The one above the condiment station had a smudge on the lens for 3 weeks and nobody noticed. I kept meaning to mention it.
Nobody noticed a misaligned camera for 3 weeks?
The system's less omniscient than you think. Blind spots everywhere. The feeling of being watched is more consistent than the actual watching. You said that earlier. It's true.
You never had the dissonance Daniel's describing. The weird moment of forgetting and then remembering.
Never. I knew exactly where I stood with the cameras. It was actually comforting. I'd sit there eating my burrito, camera 47B pointed at my head, and I'd think, if something happens, they've got me on tape, uncovered. The dissonance only happens when you don't know.
That inverts the whole thing. For you, the surveillance was visible. Not physically visible, but mentally visible. And that made it comfortable rather than unsettling.
Knowing is better than not knowing. Even when what you know is that you're being watched. The watching wasn't the problem. The not knowing was the problem.
The ethical issue isn't the surveillance itself. It's the hiding of it.
If they put a sign above every camera that said camera 47B is currently recording, same cameras, same feeds, same everything, half that weird feeling goes away. You're not wondering anymore. You know.
But they'd never do that, because the uncertainty is part of the deterrent.
I know. That's the trade. Security wants the uncertainty. Passengers want the certainty. Somebody wins, and it's not the person eating the burrito.
Did you keep the binder?
No. But I still remember the layout. Gate B32 had a blind spot near the window. If you sat in the third seat from the left, camera 31D couldn't see your face. I used to watch people figure it out. They'd sit down, look around, and you could see them realize, this seat feels different. They didn't know why, but they knew.
They felt the gap without being able to name it.
The gap is the whole thing. You can feel it even when you can't see it. That's what the binder taught me. The feeling doesn't need cameras. It just needs the possibility of cameras. And the possibility is everywhere.
The one thing I'd take from this whole discussion, and Hilbert just landed on it from a different angle, is that the feeling Daniel's describing isn't a bug. It's your brain doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It's detecting a pattern it can't quite resolve, and flagging it for attention. The problem isn't the feeling. The problem is that the environment is designed to make you doubt the feeling. To make you think you're being weird when you're actually being perceptive.
The thing I'd add is that the doubt is strategic. The calm isn't just for your comfort, it's for the system's convenience. A relaxed passenger is an efficient passenger. An efficient passenger moves through the space without friction. And a passenger moving without friction is a passenger who isn't asking questions about the cameras in the ceiling tiles. The banality is doing work. And we should notice that.
Where this goes next is the question we didn't fully answer. As airports get smarter and surveillance gets more invisible, does the dissonance fade because we stop noticing? Or does it intensify because the gap between what we feel and what's happening gets even wider? I honestly don't know. I suspect it depends on whether we keep having these moments of remembering, whether the feeling survives the disappearance of the checkpoints.
If the feeling disappears, that's not a sign that everything's fine. That's a sign that the engineered calm won, and I'm not sure that's a win we should be comfortable with.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flumingtop, who apparently knows where every camera in the Denver airport was pointed in 2003, and has never once felt weird about it.
If you've had that moment of dissonance Daniel described, or if you've got a completely different weird prompt you want us to dig into, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We read everything.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the thread.
from sloth, from man, from long. It holds my windpromes. Until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.